RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. U.S. condemns Jakarta terror attacks. Japan offers solidarity to Indonesian people. Now the news in detail. The United States government has condemned the burn blasts and shootout that happened in Starbucks Cafe and near police post in Jakarta Theater Building on Jalan MH Tamrin early on Tuesday. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Robert O. Blake offered an unwritten statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday, condolences to the families of those who were killed and hopeful recovery for those who had been injured. The U.S. Embassy has also issued two emergency notifications for Americans who live in Indonesia. The notification was sent by electronic mail to an emergency response network using a timestamp of GMT plus 7 or and around 11:44 a.m. and 12:36 p.m. local time. The embassy also uploaded the notification on official website around 12:06 p.m. and 1:04 p.m. local time. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has delivered a message to Indonesian President Joko Widodo relating to the terrorist attack happening in Jakarta on Tuesday morning. In line with this, Japan's Foreign Minister Kishida Fumio also offered sympathy and support to his Indonesian counterpart Minister Retno Marsudi. Fumio noted in a written statement received by Antara News Agency on Friday that every party cannot tolerate the kind of fight for whatever reason and strongly condemned it. On behalf of the Japanese government and the people, he expressed solidarity to the Indonesians in tackling the threat of terrorism. The bombings and shootout at the main business center in Jakarta have led to 7 deaths, including 5 of the alleged terrorists. Jakarta Metropolitan Police Command Chief Inspector General Tito Karnavian confirmed that the terrorists who had orchestrated the attack in Jakarta on Tuesday were linked to ISIS terrorist group. Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, in a letter to President Joko Widodo, has expressed solidarity to Indonesian people and condolences to the families of the victims of the terror attacks on Tuesday. In his letter posted on the website of the Embassy of Singapore on Friday, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong affirmed that Singapore stands in solidarity with the people of Indonesia. He was deeply shocked and saddened to hear of the terror attacks in the heart of central Jakarta. He also strongly condemned these attacks, which have resulted in tragic loss of innocent lives. Meanwhile, President Tony Tan Keng-yam also expressed his condolences over the tragic loss of innocent lives and his support for Indonesian people and government following the terror attacks in central Jakarta on February 14, 2016. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia is aiming for executive position in the newly formed Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank as a strategy to optimize support for the country's upcoming infrastructure project, saying that the Indonesian presence will ease its coordination with the multilateral lenders. Minister Bambang and his entourage are scheduled to attend 2 days of AAB's 3-day Board of Governors and board of director meeting in Beijing, China from Saturday through Monday, during which the lender will inaugurate a new president and appoint vice president and director generals. Minister Bamban hoped that the ABB will place the interests of debtor nation into consideration once it's fully operational. Indonesia must strengthen its defenses against Islamic State and work with the neighboring countries to fight it, Jakarta police chief said on Friday, a day after an attack of suicide bombers and gunmen in the heart of the Southeast Asian nation's capital. Jakarta police chief Tito Karniapan told reporters on Tuesday in Jakarta that police chiefs across the country were put on high alert. Some embassies in Jakarta were closed for the day and security was stepped up on the resort island of Bali, a draw for tourists from Australia and other Asian countries. Indonesian Chief Security Minister Luhut Panjaitan told reporters in his office was working with the parliament to make change to legislation that would allow preemptive arrest. His expert agreed that there is a growing threat from radicalized Muslims inspired by Islamic State. Some of whom may have fought with the group in Syria. However, they said the law that toll on Tuesday pointed to the involvement of poorly trained local militants whose weapons were crude. The last item, Indonesian benchmark stock index declined slightly on Tuesday, closing after a series of explosions and gunfire rocked the downtown area of central Jakarta early in the day. Jakarta Composite Index JCI fell 0.53% to 4,513.18 at the closing trade on Tuesday, after it fell 1.7% to 4,459.32 at midday. On Tuesday before noon, Jakarta saw the first major attack in the capital since Jabul W. Marriott and Ritz-Carlton Hotel bombing in July 17, 2009. Head of the Risk Management at the Daewoo Security Indonesia, Bertrand Reynaldi, said that he believed the terror attack would not have a lasting impact. He was referring to Bank Indonesia's decision on Tuesday to cut its benchmark interest rate, the first time in 12 months, by 25 basis points to 7.25%, as it seeks to provide stimulus to the economy, which is currently under pressure from the weakening rupiah. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled, After Jakarta, Terror Bomb Expected No More in Another Place. On Tuesday morning, January 14, 2015, Jakarta was struck by terrorist attacks. The bomb blast occurred at Jalan MH Tamrin around Sarina Building in central Jakarta, not so far from Presidential Palace and Representative Office of the United Nations in Indonesia. Every day, the area is busy and is one of the protocol streets. When bombs occurred, the atmosphere was very tense, especially with viral news on social media such as Facebook, Twitter, and soon. Within few seconds, the news of bomb blast occurring at around 10:55 West Indonesian time was already spreading. The photographs and video shots taken by on-spot witnesses via phones were spreading through mass media, especially on TV in Jakarta. When the security forces were busy to cope with the situation, the communities were terrorized by issues in social media, which make them more afraid. In a press statement, President Joko Widodo asked the state, nation, and the people not to be afraid and not to be defeated by such terror. He also ordered Indonesian police chief and coordinating minister for political, legal, and security affairs to chase and catch the suspected terrorists, both whom involved in this bomb blast and other networks. Appreciation of the security forces that overcome the situation should be expressed to them. Nelson, son of Dan, were injured in a firefight with the terrorists. Preventance also continues to increase. Police headquarters of Republic of Indonesia increases security status, become alert. Maximum security alert is applied especially in areas considered to be the target of terror. It was reported that some people claimed to be the mastermind behind the suicide bombing that killed five perpetrators and two civilians. The police have already gained some information about the network. Public awareness should be increased. Strong cooperation to fight against terrorism is the key. Suspicion on the grounds against any group or movement can also be a seal to prevent similar incidents. Currently, the alert status shouldn't be owned by only Indonesia, because the act of terror could happen anywhere at any time and must be addressed globally. Carelessness in one place or by any parties could be a chance for the terrorists to commit suicide bombs. The world must unite to combat against terrorism in the name of anything. After Jakarta, it is expected that there is no more terror bombing. Confidence and commitment to address it must be strengthened. Listener, that was a commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from January 15, 1919, Rosa Luxemburg and Karl Liebknecht, two socialist figures in Germany, killed. The murder of revolutionary leaders Rosa Luxemburg and Karl Liebknecht on 15 January 1919 at the hands of the proto-Nazi Freikorps marked the end of the Spartacist week, the field workers' uprising in Berlin. Incredibly, the murder was ordered by a socialist or SPD government. Whilst internecine battles on the left came to dominate the 20th century, this betrayal was so shocking not just because it was the first, but because it came from the party widely regarded as the spiritual home of the international socialist movement. We now have a look on January 15, 1974, Mallory incident, student demonstration action in welcoming the visit of Japanese Prime Minister in Jakarta. Mallory or the January 15th incident was an student demonstrations and social unrest that occurred on January 15, 1974 in Jakarta. The incident occurred when the Japanese Prime Minister Tanaka Kokui was visiting Jakarta. The students planned to welcome him to demonstrate at Halim Perdana Kusuma Air Base. Because it was guarded tightly, a group of students did not successfully break into the air base. Finally, they performed demonstrations throughout the day, resulted riots, arson, and chaos in Jakarta. Due to these incidents, President Suharto dismissed General Sumitro as commander of security and order. Head of Bakin Sutopo Juwono replaced by Joka Sugomo. In Mallory, General Ali Murtopo accused the former PSII and ex-Masyumi or extreme right were the mastermind behind the incident. But after the Mallory figures like Syahrir and Hariman Siregar tried, could not be proved that there is the slightest facts and no one former figure Masyumi involved in the incident. Later, it was revealed the cause of action after the statement of General Sumitro in his biography that the Mallory incident was a General Murtopo maneuver itself with CSIS institution he founded who masterminded the Mallory incident. The core of the demonstration of students at that time was anti-foreign capital. We conclude today in history on January 15, 1979. Iranian military joined with people in Iranian political upheaval. When the wave of resistance of the Iranian people against the Shah regime mounting, Iranian military on January 15, 1979 has officially chosen to join with the people and along with the people struggling to inspire the Islamic revolution. Previously, Imam Khomeini, from his exile in Paris,
many times to send messages to the Iranian armed forces to join with the people and save the Iranian nation from foreign imperialist powers and the despotic ruler. On February 1979, after a series of chaos and political upheaval, which hits the family of Shahreza Pahlavi to leave the country and paved the way for the return of Imam Khomeini and the beginning of the Islamic Revolution of Iran. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about investment guide as is accelerated. Last year, Indonesian government issued a package of economic policies to address the economic slowdown by facilitating investment and accelerate the absorption of state revenue and expenditure budget. Now the government's investment policy was revised to accelerate investment in Indonesia. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, in accordance to the limited cabinet meeting on Tuesday in Jakarta, the government will soon loosen some investment sector in Indonesia for foreign investors. Moreover, they has already entered the ASEAN economic community, so the revised investment guide should be done immediately, which is aimed to increase competitiveness in order investment in Indonesia increasingly easy and interesting. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, said the revision of Presidential Decree No. 30/2014 aims to expand investment opportunities. According to the minister, there are at least 754 items in 16 to 17 business sector which is reviewed in the revised investment negative list, DNI, that plan to change the term to become investment guide. The revision is planned in stages and expected to be completed no later than April 2016. Head of Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Franky Sibarani, said the policy of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala government drive the economic transformation to one based on production. The policy requires the importance of industrial development, which is confusing. Meanwhile, Deputy of Investment Control, BKPM, Azhar Lubis, previously said the Investment Coordinating Board, BKPM, has submitted a revised proposal investment guide, or so-called negative investment list, or DNI, of four areas of industry to the Coordinating Ministry for Economic Affairs. Azhar Lubis admitted BKPM has conducted meetings involving various ministries' proposals, the latest DNI, and technical ministries concerned. Some of them are the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, the Ministry of Tourism, Agency Creative Economy, Ministry of Communication and Information, and Trade Ministry. While Minister of Marine and Fisheries, Susi Pujastuti, criticized relevant rules of the negative list that legalize foreigners to come to the fishing industry in the country. The rules are assessed miserable local fishermen as a result of captured fisheries that has been hunted by foreigners. The old DNI rules to make foreigners easily steal the fish in the territorial waters of Indonesia, as foreign investors are allowed 100% into the fishing industry or upstream industry. Therefore, Minister Susi Pujastuti expected no improvement in new regulations to invest in Indonesia. That was the focus.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January 15, 2016. We begin with Kompas, which wrote, "Rise together against terrorism." Terror and gun attack around MH Tamrin Street, Jakarta, Thursday, developed people's awareness to rise together against terrorism. Many mass organizations and government condemned the terror action and stated to be not afraid of terrorism. President Joko Widodo said the country, nation, and people must not be afraid and lose against terrorism. Nahdlatul Ulama Chairman Akil Siraj emphasized, the incident at MH Tamrin Street was not in accordance of any religion. Meanwhile, Muhammadiyah Chairman Haidar Nasir said, "The terror of any name or reason is cursed doing and a form of munkar." Head of Indonesian Church Confederation, Monsignor Ignatius Soeharyo, stated, "The incident was saddening, not only taking people's life, but also because many parties still use violence for their own interests." Related to this, Indonesian Church Association head Henriette Teha Lebang said, "Indonesia needs to cooperate in facing such terror." Meanwhile, Sindo wrote, "Nation must not lose. Any form of terrorism against country's sovereignty must be fought. The peoples of Indonesia must not be afraid of the terror." That was stated by President Joko Widodo in response of the terror act in Sarinah area, central Jakarta. The president instructed the National Police Chief and Coordinating Minister for Politics, Legal and Security Affairs to chase and arrest the terror executors and their network. President Jokowi condemned the act and conveyed his condolences for the victims. The act, according to the head of nation, disturbed the security and serenity among people. Listener, we end today's headline with Media Indonesia. Indonesia does not want to lose. The terrorists in Sarinah, central Jakarta, were related to ISIS. Besides a statement that Indonesia must not lose, President Joko Widodo, the general chairman of Nasdem Party Surya Paloh said, "This is the right moment to move together to show that Indonesia is a strong nation." According to him, his party is fully supporting the government of Jokowi Jk to immediately take quick action against terrorism. Meanwhile, Chairman of Provincial Representative Council Irman Guzman called terrorism and extremism as common enemy. Thus, the country and people must raise their awareness. Listener, that was Headlines. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The United States government has condemned the bomb blasts and shootout that happened in Starbucks Cafe and near police post in Jakarta Theater Building on Jalan MH Tamrin early on Tuesday. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has delivered a message to Indonesian President Joko Widodo relating to the terrorist attack happening in Jakarta on Tuesday morning. Singaporean Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, in a letter to President Joko Widodo, has expressed solidarity to Indonesian people and condolences to the families of the victims of the terror attacks on Tuesday. Indonesian Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro said in Jakarta on Tuesday that Indonesia is aiming for executive position in the newly formed Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank as a strategy to optimize support for the country's upcoming infrastructure projects. Indonesia must strengthen its defenses against Islamic State and work with neighboring countries to fight it, Jakarta Police Chief said on Friday, a day after an attack by suicide bombs and gunmen in the heart of the Southeast Asian nation's capital. Jakarta Police Chief Tito Karnavian told reporters on Tuesday in Jakarta the police chief across the country were put on high alert, Sun Embassy in Jakarta were closed for the day, and security was stepped up on the resort island of Bali. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'll invite you to travel to West Sumatra Province. Stay tuned. listener, Malalak is one of the districts in Agam, West Sumatra Province. Malalak consists of four villages, namely Nagari Malalak Utara, Nagari Malalak Selatan, Nagari Malalak Timur, and Nagari Malalak Barat. In each of these villages, scattered a variety of a beautiful waterfalls. No wonder if Malalak is known as a haven for waterfall lovers. In these districts, there are Burai Burai Langkwik, Burai Burai Batingke, Burai Burai Singke, Langkwik Tamyang, and Langkwik Tinggi waterfalls. In this edition of Indonesian Wonder, I'll tell you about Langkwik Tinggi waterfall. Listener, Langkwik Tinggi waterfall is located in Nyur Malak Selatan region. It takes approximately 30 to 45 minutes from Bukit Tinggi, or about 3 hours from Pajang, the capital of West Sumatra. It's easy to find the location of the waterfall because it's near to the roadside. Arriving at Langkwik Tinggi tourist location, you can park your car in the parking lot with 5,000 rupiah parking ticket per vehicle. Then you need to pay the entrance fee of 5,000 rupiah per person. There is a post where you will be offered services of a tour guide. However, no special rate for the cost of the tour guide, just depending on your willingness to pay. From the post to the location of the waterfall, you have to walk for about 1 hour. You will pass through green paddy fields and forests. The terrain is quite extreme with a somewhat slippery path when it rains, so you should be physically prepared. To get to the first waterfall, you have to walk along the river. Langkwik Tinggi waterfall actually consists of 5 waterfalls. However, from one waterfall to the other is quite close. At the first waterfall, you will be amazed by the rapid water falling down in a big volume. So swift, it splashes along. So swift, it splashes into the rocks, and you will get wet if you are standing or take pictures around the waterfall location. From the first waterfall, you can go to the next by crossing the river. Unlike at the first waterfall, here you can swim under it because the water is not too heavy and the pool water is not too deep. You can take a break before heading to the third, fourth, and fifth falls. The third is close to the second waterfall, approximately about 20 minutes on foot. There you can also swim again if you like, take the pictures, and enjoy the beauty of the surrounding view. Since in this tourist location there's no restaurant, you better bring your own food. You can have a nice picnic while enjoying the beauty of the Langkwik Tinggi waterfall. That was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Langkwik Tinggi Waterfall. I'm Nico Kusumawati. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, on Miscellany. Today's edition takes you to find out about the magical side of Mandau. Mandau is one of traditional weapons like parang or machet, comes from Dayak culture in Kalimantan, Indonesia. Unlike parang, Mandau has carving in the blade, additional holes in the blade covered with brass or copper are also found in the blade to beautify the blade of Mandau. Mandau derives from Chinese words, the word Man, a tribe in the south of China, and Dao, which means golok or sword. Dayak tribe with Mandau is known for its skill in war. Because of war between clans and nations coming to Kalimantan Island, this traditional weapon becomes popular. According to history, with the sharp weapon blade, Mandau is used to behead the enemies of Dayak tribe so that other nations are not brave to enter their area. Until now, Mandau becomes the traditional weapon of Kalimantan Island. Mandau is a heritage used by Dayak tribe and considered as a hereditary sacred object. Besides being used in war, Mandau is usually used by Dayak tribe to accompany them to do daily activities like chopping meat, cutting plants, or other objects. Mandau should be kept and maintained well in a special place as part of respect. Because Dayak tribe is sure that Mandau has spiritual power that can protect its owner from attack or bad intention from their enemies. Heritage magic weapon of Dayak tribe is believed to have levels of divine power. The divine power of Mandau is not only from the making process through certain ritual, but also through pengayawan, or beheading tradition of enemies. The more people are beheaded, the more powerful Mandau will be. Some of hair of beheaded people is usually used to adorn the handle of Mandau. It is because they believe that spirit of dead people who are beheaded will live in Mandau until Mandau becomes powerful. However, Dayak tribe has left the tradition for a long time, so that not so many Mandau which have magical power like before. Now Mandau changes function to become the symbol of Dayak tribe's special weapon that can become souvenir. Well, VOI listener, that ends today's miscellany on the magical side of Mandau. I'm Rahman. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our regular segment, Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. Today's edition presents you an Indonesian female dangdut singer named Siti Badriah. Alright, listener, to begin our program, let's listen to a song by Siti Badriah entitled Andilau. Enjoy. Listener, now many Indonesian dangdut singers produce music that boosts people's spirit in daily life. One of the dangdut singers is Siti Badriah, or usually called as Sibat, who was born in Bekasi, West Java, on November 11, 1991. Since she was a child, she has shown interest in singing. She started singing in the second grade by performing with popular singers from one stage to another. To sharpen her talent, Siti Badriah often joined music festivals to improve her experience in singing. Because of her hard work, Siti Badriah becomes a popular dangdut singer in Indonesia along with Zaskia Gotik. Well, listener, before we move on, let's enjoy a song by Siti entitled Keenakan. Happy listening.
Sama kamu diputusin, ternyata kamu yang kuanggap nyebelin, tapi gak bisa ku lupain. Yang hitam, yang putih ku cobain, yang tinggi, yang pendek aku rasain, tapi kamu yang sedang-sedang saja bikin aku pengen balikan. Keenakan aku keenakan, ketagihan sama kamu ketagihan. Keenakan aku keenakan, ketagihan sama kamu ketagihan.
Listener, since she released a song, Berondong Tua, Siti Badriah started rising to fame. Her schedule is getting tight. However, she feels grateful as the busyness is one of her dreams. Siti doesn't deny that she rose to fame through the song Berondong Tua, which is the second single after the song Melanggar Hukum. The dangdut singer, who calls her dance Goyang Manjur or Manjur Dance, which means forward, backward, hope that she can follow the success of Inul Daratista. The singer from Pasuruan, East Java, becomes her inspiration to gain success from the low level. Listener, to end our program, let's listen to two songs by Siti Badriah entitled Berondong Tua and Terong Dicabein. Enjoy the songs, and I'll see you again in the next Dangdut edition of Music Corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program.
You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Oh,
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.